This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And cowabunga. My name is Tim.
Oh, trying out some new catchphrases for the new year.
Yeah, for the new year.
Cowabunga.
And cowabunga. I'm Tim.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. It's a playful, it's something that the kids are saying these days. I like, a lot of Gen Z like myself, this is what we're saying in the hallways of our junior highs.
Right. Is Gen Z even in junior high anymore?
No, there's Alpha now.
Yeah, Generation Alpha.
Yeah, that's what I am. I figured it out. I finally did the math.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Turns out Generation Alpha.
Yeah. You took a DNA test. Turns out you're 100% Generation Alpha. Interesting.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so good at skateboarding. This is what we do.
Right. Yeah, the first, famously the first generation of skateboard.
Yeah, we say cowabunga a lot.
Mm-hmm. You say cowabunga.
No, you say, because normally my old intro was, and I'm Tim.
Right, but so now it's and cowabunga.
And cowabunga, I'm Tim.
Okay, all right. Wow, Tim, I'm looking forward to seeing the spike in downloads from Generation Alpha next week.
Oh, man.
Once word gets out. There's a guy that does a podcast and says cowabunga.
You're not going to believe it.
Yeah. I thought podcasts were for dumb old fucks, but it turns out they're for cool kids like us, too.
Tom, in all seriousness, back when we were in, junior high or a little younger, they put cowabunga on a t-shirt and everybody lost their goddamn minds.
Well, if it was
like pastors were like, we must burn these Bart Simpson t-shirts.
Well, if it was in the Simpsons font or Ninja Turtle font, then it was cool.
See, I thought that was BS, man.
That both the Ninja Turtles and Bart Simpson said cowabunga?
Yeah, because they were different types of cool. They were both very cool.
Of course, yeah.
But
one fought crime and one was just a little stinker.
A little stinker.
Yeah.
You know, as an adult, I'm taking off the mask. I'm not really Generation Alpha. It's just plain old Gen Z Tim over here.
just plain old Gen Z Tim.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I'm getting older, I don't like little stinkers in my media.
Tim, have you been sending letters to the TV stations again?
Yeah, I've been sending letters to the newspaper about Dennis the Menace.
Right. He is an actual menace.
He's a bad influence.
What if my kids saw this and decided to start harassing the old man who lives next door?
And Mr. Wilson, Tom, you know what? Canonically, your age.
Oh, really?
Probably.
Yeah, but I was going to guess probably younger.
Yeah, like 40-year-olds. Yeah. When did Dennis the Menace start? The 40s?
Mr. Wilson was 35 and had fought in two world wars. They had to deal with this little shit.
Yeah, and you could see it on his face.
Yeah, he had shell shock. He had PTSD.
Man. They made the TV show in the 50s, based on the comic strip. And the guy that originally played Mr. Wilson got so mad that he died.
Tim, is that true?
I think the original Mr. Wilson
died during production.
Yeah.
But nothing because he got so mad.
I think so. I think Dennis the Menace wound him up so much that he was like, Dennis, and then pop.
Just keels over on set. You're always trying to tell me. You're trying Parker Jaya tell me that the horse that played Mr. Ed really did like to wear all those clothes that they would always put him in?
Yeah, no, they didn't. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to write a show about a talking horse and then find a talking horse that wears clothes? No, Tom.
He didn't always wear clothes.
They
just
found
sometimes.
This horse and they were like, this is incredible. We got to get this guy on television.
This guy. They said that about a horse.
Yeah. Mr. Ed. If he's a talking horse that wears clothes sometimes, you just call him a guy at that point.
Mr. Ed, what a good show.
Do you know that to be a fact? Have you watched an episode of Mr. Ed since?
I'm going
to
watch an episode of Mr. Ed tonight.
Okay.
I think it's going to hold up. I bet it's going to be even better than I remember.
Yeah, but are you going to watch the whole thing?
Yeah, that it's probably.
I feel like you'll be like, you'll watch 5 minutes and be like, ah, yep, see, this is goofy. All right, but now to get on with my life.
Do you think, like, because if you wanted to watch something like Star Trek, The Next Generation, you could, like, Google, hey, where are the best episodes? And you'll find articles, because I've done this. I've never actually watched it, but I've been like, maybe I should be a Star Trek guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up and it's like, oh, here are the great, like, standalone episodes. You don't need to know anything. It's just a great hour of TV.
I don't want to do that.
But
you
wonder,
won't get the full effect.
I wonder if there are guides like that about Mr. Ed online.
Oh, yeah. Where it's like, you don't need to know the lore. Oh, you know what? If Mr.
But I want to know the lore.
Yeah, I know. If Mr. Ed was rebooted,
mm-hmm.
you'd learn all about how he got his powers.
He'd be in a government experiment and something went wrong.
And you would love that.
I would. Yeah.
Because I think your main criticism of Mr. Ed would be like,
how
I
did
watched
he learn
all
how to talk?
358 episodes of Mr. Ed.
And they never explained it.
Yeah. And never found out why he talked.
No. Well, we know why he talked to mess with Wilbur's life.
Yeah. Speaking of old black and white shit that you
haven't
watched.
I thought you were going to say Wilbur. I thought you were going to have some stuff to say about Wilbur how upset he would get about Mr. Ed.
See, I get the sense that. So, what was Wilbur's deal? And forgive me for not knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
Was it, don't interrupt, mm-hmm. That he had to hide the fact that Mr. Ed talked, or B, that nobody believed him that Mr. Ed talked?
I believe he had to hide the fact.
Okay.
And I think there was some convoluted thing, reason why he owned Mr. Ed. Like, Mr. Ed was, like, left in a will or something. Okay. Like, he wasn't a horse guy to begin with, and then the horse he got could talk. So he was just really out of his depth, and I think for that reason, he kept it a secret. I think Mr. Ed didn't really give a shit, and I think that was, like, part of the conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And just for clarity, I had to say don't interrupt, because you were so animated about this that I was afraid I wouldn't be able to lay out the question. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what Wilbur was afraid of if people knew Mr. Ed. I don't know if he was afraid that Mr. Ed would be taken away from him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, that's a nice, sweet reason.
Did Wilbur
mm-hmm.
try to, like, understand, like did, like, if there was a talking horse,
mm-hmm.
I would have, like, less, I wouldn't focus on, like, the incidental, like, this is what we have to do today, Mr. Ed. I'd mm-hmm. want to sit him down and, like, get an oral history of, like, what is your life?
I think he would kind of, like, talk about his life throughout the show.
Okay.
He would have, like, anecdotes about, like, oh, I remember how to do this since that time I went skiing. And he'd be like, what, you went skiing, Mr. Ed? He'd be like, oh, I can't talk about it.
Well, why wouldn't he talk about it?
Somebody was coming.
Tom, I think after 15 years, it's time to transition the show finally into a Mr. Ed rewatch podcast.
See, I think the great thing about shows back then, which of course I was not alive for, but Nick at Night was around, was it seemed like they just kind of, like, skipped the first season of every show.
Okay.
I think maybe the first episode of Mr. Ed shows, like, Mr. Ed talked to Wilbur for the first time, and he, like, does a double take.
He pukes.
pukes, and then that's just it. You know, he can talk, and it's never really brought up again.
That he can talk?
No, like how all that came about.
Okay. I seem to remember. I feel like I watched the pilot not too long ago.
Okay.
And I feel like it was...
I mean, it was pilot season recently, so...
I was going after the role of Mr. Ed on the reboot.
Right, yeah. So you gotta watch. Tim, if I got offered the job of being the voice of Mr. Ed in a reboot, I'd be so happy.
Tom, I think
I'm just putting that out there into the world.
You should be the voice of Mr. Ed. I should play Wilbur because I'm frequently exasperated by.
Yeah. And I like talking at you, telling you things.
No, I think they flipped the script a little bit. I think in the first episode, mm-hmm. Wilbur is so suppressed that he talks.
Yeah.
That he's trying to show other people that Mr. Ed is not playing along.
Yeah.
But I think it does flip to, you know.
That he doesn't want to be. Because that's just like the sitcom trope is the protagonist is like constantly trying to hide something.
Right.
You know, think of like Three's Company. With like Mr. Roper, they were always trying to, what was it? They were trying to pretend Jack was gay.
Yeah.
So he could live with the two girls.
Yeah.
Alf, they were always trying to hide Alf.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get misunderstandings.
Yeah. And that's what drives sitcoms. Anyway.
143 episodes.
Wow.
Of Mr. Ed. We can do it.
And how many hours is each episode?
It doesn't say here. I'm guessing.
Because I know they broke them up into half hours for their first syndication.
Yeah, Tom, mm-hmm. speaking of old black and white stuff,
yeah.
Have you ever, this week we're talking about Mickey Mouse, but not, hold on, Tom.
Oh, okay, hold on.
You're not allowed to do that.
What?
That's not Mickey Mouse. This is parody. It's parody. Tom, only allowed to talk about Steamboat Willie.
Oh, I think it's a little bit more than Steamboat, but explain why it's only Steamboat Willie.
Welcome to our Mickey Mouse episode. We're doing this. Tom, you know what?
You know, a lot for years, people have been accusing this of being a Mickey Mouse podcast, but this week it really is.
Tom, in the past, a peek behind the curtain here, Tom.
Yeah.
You suggested that we do this episode on Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Because of the copyright.
Yeah, the copyright expiring on Steamboat Willie.
It's public domain, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, we've been thinking about topic ideas. On more than one occasion, I was like, we should do like Mickey Mouse and like... The Disney crew, like Mickey Mouse and his crew,
Mickey and friends,
yeah,
is how they're
like,
referred to.
I don't know what their deal is, and you were always like, "Why would we do an episode on that?" I brought it up several times, and you made me feel the fool for even bringing it up. I just wanted to address.
Yeah,
that.
But you always brought it up. You're always like, "Yeah, what's their deal? Who's making love to who?" And I just didn't like the way you. Approach
making
that.
Love is a nice way to put it.
Yeah, you know what though, in that way it made it feel even creepier that you
and also Tom, I think it's pretty clear who's making love to who.
You don't know what happens once they turn the lights out. Yeah.
And so you thought the episode would just be speculation.
right.
Okay. I mean, that's something we could do. That. I think we're going to focus a little bit more on the legal aspects of things
right.
this week.
Well, Tim, I mean, we're two prominent lawyers in the community. And, you know, a lot of people out there, they're probably hearing Steamboat Willie / Mickey Mouse is in the public domain. What does this mean? I should see what those lawyers that I'm always the two men who passed the bar exam that even go to law school.
So thanks to the Copyright Term Extension Act of 1998,
which was also known as
the Sonny Bono Act,
also known as
the Mickey Mouse Protection Act.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. The life of a copyright would last for the life of the author.
Yes.
plus 70 years.
Yeah.
And for works of corporate authorship, mm-hmm. which is what Mickey Mouse is.
Yeah, yeah. Owned by the Disney Corporation.
95 years from publication or 120 years after creation, whichever end is earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, 95 years after Steamboat Willie comes out, the first Mickey Mouse cartoon. Have you ever watched it, Tom?
Tim, I watched it today.
It stinks, right?
It's a weird cartoon.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, not much really happens.
Not much really happens. Its claim to fame, which I think a lot of people forget, is that it is the first cartoon that had synchronized sound.
Yeah.
Before this, all cartoons, they were silent. I mean, maybe there would be like a musical accompaniment, but not scored to the action on screen.
Right.
So that was a big deal at the time, which apparently they made it. They actually made and screened another Mickey, I think, called Plain Crazy first.
Yeah, no, nobody was really feeling
it. Yeah, nobody really liked it, and it was silent. And they were, I guess, in the middle of making Steamboat Willie, and supposedly it was Walt Disney who was like, this needs to have sound. We need to figure out how to synchronize sound to animation and put this out as the first thing.
Yeah, which was like legitimately...
groundbreaking thing. Nobody had done it before. And it is kind of... It is interesting in watching the cartoon, thinking about like, oh yeah, this is the first time we're hearing like cartoon sound effects for anything, right?
Yeah.
If they're like...
Did you read that Walt Disney biography that came out a few years ago?
No, I've never read any of them.
You've never read a Walt Disney biography?
No.
What the hell?
I haven't done it.
It was actually pretty fascinating. Like, he was so hands-on. Like, it is, like, knowing what this became, how, like, this kicked off. It didn't really kick off. There was that rabbit guy. What was his name?
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, which I want to talk about, too.
But, like, this kicked off essentially Walt Disney animation for all intents and purposes, which has like become this
this huge.
But like, if it didn't become this thing, Walt Disney would have been a fucking maniac.
Yeah,
just where he's like, oh, we need this mouse to make funny noises, and he was so. He was so particular about the actual soundtrack, made them do it a million times, like, and it's just like, cool, but he was also like a grown man being like, the mouse boinging noise is not to my liking. We need to do it again, you jackasses. And he was also like, you know, ill-tempered and stuff. Yeah.
From what I read, they were talking about the character before Mickey Mouse, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Disney, like Walt had made like a animation studio, and they were selling these to or licensing them to Universal.
Right.
And Universal was putting these out. And basically Universal, I guess, started to realize like, why are we paying this? Why don't we just hire all the animators away from him? Offer them more money, but we'll cut him out completely. We own this character. We'll just do that. And it was after that that Walt Disney was like, oh, I got boned. I've got to come up with a new character.
That's a direct quote.
Yeah, I got boned.
It was such a famous quote of his that they put it on his gravestone.
got boned.
Walt Disney, I got boned.
So he got boned, and he said, I need to come up with my own original character. And what he came up with was Mickey Mouse.
What Ub Iwerks came up with?
Yeah, one of his animators. Like, they at least came up with it together. Like, he at least was saying, like, now do this, do that.
Yeah, was he, though?
I don't know.
Who read the biography?
All right, then
the story is official story is, hey, they came up with it together. It was a real collaboration.
I mean, even if it wasn't a collaboration, I'm sure it wasn't, you know, that guy brought his first draft and Walt Disney said, perfect. I'm not going to make you work any harder on that.
Well, of Iwerks is like is a force himself. Tom, yeah. In the, just so you know, he's not just some guy.
He's got a interesting name.
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
UB.
Uh-huh. That's the first name.
Yep. Iwerks.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard either of those names before. Interesting.
He looks like this guy we know, Billy.
Hey, he does look like that guy we know, Billy. when I was reading about that, about the Universal stuff, I was reading about that Walt had two like rolls of film under his arms at one point in Manhattan and just like marched his way up to like, you know, one studio and like showed them and then like marched his way to the other studio. And I was thinking like, this isn't a grown man with like, I've got these rabbit cartoons and you need to buy them. See, just cause I feel like, especially at the time, like kids entertainment was not taken seriously at all.
I mean, this wasn't necessarily for kids though.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it was just kind of like,
people were stupid back then.
People were stupid. They like cartoons.
Just watch all the movies and stuff from back then. It's for stupid people.
They were figuring everything out.
And all the music was like,
yeah, that was the best part.
Like in general,
I wish they bring it back. I wish the next Avengers movie, the Avengers come out. It's like, oh, the stakes are high this time. Look at this. I forgot the whole reason I brought up this Oswald the Lucky Rabbit thing.
Yeah.
Do you know how Disney got the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit back?
I should, because as I mentioned, I read that book, but I do not remember.
Well, so I guess actually the copyright, which in a sec, let's talk about copyright versus trademark. But the copyright to the Oswald
the Rabbit. That's what people want to hear, right?
Exactly. That's why I teased it. The copyright to the Oswald the Rabbit cartoons had expired by this point, but the trademarks had not. The trademarks still belonged to, at the time, NBC Universal. I guess, are they still? Yeah, they're still together. NBC and Universal, or are they?
They are now, but were they at the time?
No, not way back then. Oh, okay. I'm saying at the time, 2006, when Disney acquired the trademark back. The way Disney acquired the trademark of Oswald back was by
that was me. I'm sorry. I have my sound
unbelievable.
On. Got a text message from my father-in-law.
Get away from my daughter. You ruined her life.
It's just a weekly threatening text. Tom, it just said thanks.
Thanks for marrying my daughter. Yeah, yeah. Sure. He texts me every
just
week.
Reflecting on it. My daughter seems so happy.
She really did marry the man of everyone's dreams.
Thanks, Tim. And hey, cowabunga yourself.
So they got Disney got it back by trading for Oswald the Rabbit, Al Michaels, the sports broadcaster. Yeah. He was signed to a deal. ABC had lost their NFL license, or it was up or whatever, but Al Michaels had just signed a deal to ESPN, which is part, both ABC and ESPN are part of Disney.
Right.
And I guess he, like, NBC wanted him back for the NFL games for like the, I don't know, Sunday night football, Monday night football or whatever, one of the big ones. And he kind of wanted to go back too. And somehow they worked out a deal. All right, we'll give you Al Michaels back if you give us the trademark to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That's a feather in Al's cap. Can I tell you
something
else?
Well, it's funny. There is a quote from him where he was talking about it, I guess, like right around then. And he was like, you know what? I think it's great. Yeah, I'm going to be the answer to a trivia question one day.
According to Drew McGarry, writing for Defector, Al Michaels has never eaten a vegetable.
I mean, he has to have eaten one by accident.
Growing up, Al refused to eat them and was never forced to, because even back then, being Al, Mi- Al Michaels had its privileges.
Wow.
Yeah. All he's like one of these guys that is like 1,000 years old, and all he eats is steak.
All he eats is steak and cigars and whiskey.
Yeah.
I was gonna also say
valuable enough life to trade for a cartoon rabbit,
right? And for God to keep around, despite him not eating any vegetables. The reason why, there are two reasons why they wanted to get Oswald the Rabbit back. Bob Iger had promised Walt Disney's daughter. Walt Disney's daughter really wanted Oswald the Rabbit back under the Disney stable. But also,
who cares?
I don't know.
Was she on the board or something?
Maybe. Or maybe just...
Wait, Walt Disney's daughter's got to be like...
yeah, she was like 75.
Okay.
But also, somebody had pitched a new Mickey Mouse video game with Oswald the Rabbit. And for some reason, that was enough to get Bob Iger like, yep, we got to get him back for this game called Epic Mickey. And there's a sequel, and the first one was on the Wii. I don't know about the second one, but apparently pretty good. They actually sound pretty cool because it's apparently like Oswald's kind of the bad guy in it, at least in the beginning. And he exists in like a parallel universe where like he was Mickey Mouse.
Right. Because like he almost was.
Right. Where like he was the one that they like made parks for and stuff. And he's like jealous of Mickey because of that. Because I don't know, maybe he like winds up in this that dimension makes sense. Or whatever. Yeah. But
what could have been? Tom?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But think of how much more interesting it would have been if instead of Oswald Rabbit, it was Al Michaels.
That's true. If it was Al Michaels and Mickey Mouse in the game. The game's metafiction plot parallels Oswald's real-world history, dealing with the character's feelings of abandonment by Disney and envy toward Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And
wait, Oswald's real real world?
Yeah, his real resentment? World. Yeah.
Like the real Oswald?
Yeah, I want to watch some of this Oswald because apparently he's like kind of a dick. Disney historian David Gerstein describes the difference between Mickey and Oswald. Imagine Mickey if he were a little more egotistical and fallible, or imagine Bugs Bunny if he talked the talk but wasn't as good as walking the walk.
So like Bugs Bunny that like would fuck things up?
Bugs Bunny would be like, you know, like pulling pranks or whatever on Elmer Fudd, but then like Elmer Fudd does shoot him. He's like, ah, shit, why'd I provoke Elmer Fudd? That kind of situation.
Why did I provoke Elmer Fudd?
Never a question you want to be asking yourself.
No. Look, this is a question for maybe after the break.
Uh-huh.
But what is Mickey Mouse's deal? What is his personality? Just a guy?
Well, the funny thing, he's like kind of an underdog, you know?
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. He's been in too many cartoons now.
See, this is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't reasonably, and this is a movie star thing, right? Like, I can't suspend my disbelief. I know that Mickey Mouse is the symbol of the world's most powerful entertainment conglomerate that has ever existed. And like, he is their crown jewel.
Yeah. He's so to the be face like, of the company.
This guy's an underdog in some freaking 3-minute short that plays before, the Moana sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying it. He's not that good of an actor. I know you're the guy, you're the face of the multi-billion dollar
corporation. Yeah, but I think in his world, he's not, though. In his world, he's just like a regular guy. He's just a regular Mickey Mouse.
Nah, it's the same. Can Tom Cruise play an underdog, Tom?
I would argue he kind of is an underdog in the Mission Impossible movies.
What, are you kidding me?
He's always the guy that, like, everybody's like, this guy will be no problem to take
care of. No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. Look at Henry Cavill when he was like loading his fist.
Yeah, but he got defeated immediately.
They're always proven wrong, and it's the same thing with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, but just because there's a bunch of dumb guys coming at you.
Like Tom Cruise is always up against like an entire government, and like his government's told him, you're not on the case. We're going to disavow.
Have you seen any of the Mission Impossible movies?
Yeah, I've seen, not the most recent one.
Yeah, me neither. It's still not on like, you still got to like rent it.
Oh, it's not on like Paramount Plus or whatever yet?
Stinks, right?
Nah, well. I it sounds like it's not all that great. Like not as good as the other.
Did
past
you see
couple.
He jumps over a thing on a dirt bike or something?
Yeah, he jumps off the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have you heard about that at any time since 2018?
Yeah.
They started posting videos
constantly.
Of it. They're like, "Hey, why did this movie flop?" It was like, "Oh, did it flop maybe because you showed the main
the
part of the
scene.
Movie?" On Twitter and Instagram for the last 5 years.
Yeah. Well, and you also like you showed the best part without any special effects in it.
Yeah.
So then when I see in the commercial that like you made all the scaffolding into a mountain, I'm like, oh, it's a special effects.
They made the scaffolding into a mountain?
Yeah, yeah. That scaffolding's not there in the movie.
Oh. I guess why would there be a ramp?
Yeah, right. But still, it's like, I don't know, then make the scaffolding look like a mountain. If you're going to just do that with computers, then people are just going to either assume you did the whole thing with computers or go, well, then just do the whole thing with computers.
Tom Cruise needs to come to us.
I've been saying that for years, Tim. Talk some sense into this guy. Yeah, maybe be a little luckier in love.
Well, you know, if they're like, oh, we're not going to use CG, and it's like, but we're just going to use CG for like a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
I mean, that's the big secret nowadays in Hollywood. Like all these people,
the
like
dirty little secret.
Yeah, like Christopher Nolan, you know, like looking down his nose at like, oh, in Oppenheimer, we did things practically. And it's like, yeah. And then when it wasn't exactly perfect, you touched everything up in digital.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, you really made that explosion, but then there were buildings over there, so you put green screens up and you just paint that out afterwards. Like, I don't know.
Christopher Nolan, you stink, right?
Is yeah, stop making movies. Enough is enough. Obviously, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Hey, all of Hollywood, stop making movies. Leave it to the pros. Us.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tim. I think we should talk about the legal aspect here.
That's what people come to.
That's what people are, and that's
two of the foremost legal minds.
Yeah. So here's the deal with copyright and trademark, and why they're different. I believe, and you know,
and
just to give a
disclaimer,
I am a lawyer. I know what I'm talking about. No, I'm not a lawyer.
Thank you for clarifying.
But Tim's on the Supreme Court, so he makes it for both of us.
Yeah.
He's the one making all those decisions everybody's been so happy about.
I'm doing my best over here. I don't understand any of the words that they're making me say.
So a copyright is like on and
did I tell you
what?
I had a dream that you and I were on the Supreme Court?
No, you didn't tell me that. I didn't remember that.
Somehow we wound up on the Supreme Court.
Wait, we mean somehow.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Like, but it wasn't like in the dream the explanation, and then you forgot.
No, it was like, well, maybe. I don't know. Like, it was also like, I was like,
some
I
wacky
don't know if we
parliamentary.
Should be doing this.
I have dreams like that a lot where I am suddenly like in a job or situation that I've like, no, like I'm waiting backstage to go on in like a play. And I'm like, I don't even know what play this is.
Yeah. But I was like, all right, well, I'm just gonna, and then I came up with the gambit of like, look, Tom, and like I explained it to you, I was like, we're just gonna write in plain English, like, because I think it was daunting to us.
Right,
we're like,
of course,
how do we write in this legalese?
That was
whatever.
The only thing.
Yeah, because like, I don't know, I'm outraged about all these decisions on the court, so it's like, okay, like deep down, I'm just like, I know this stuff, right? Uh-huh. Like I have opinions. I know how things should be. I'm so angry about it. I guess I must be right.
Tim, how often do you have dreams that are some kind of King Ralph or like Dave situation?
Where I'm just like somehow an important person in the world.
Yeah. And you're the guy who like just talks plain English that everybody, yeah, like a Bullworth situation.
Yeah. But get this, Tom. We were both like, all right, cool. This is going to be cool. We'll write our decisions in plain English. This is why...
we'll be the two most popular Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, you idiot. You can't do this. And we got kicked off the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole scandal.
It's supposed to be a lifetime appointment.
Yeah, I know.
Huh. Yeah. Well, something to keep in mind if it ever happens in real life. Learn up about how to write things that sound all legal.
So in a way, I am a lawyer.
Okay.
I was kicked off the Supreme Court in a dream.
Right. So copyright's like on an individual work and your ability to make derivatives from that work, to make copies of that work. And when I'm talking about work, I mean like
a mouse.
Like, no, I'm not talking about a
rabbit.
Mouse. I'm talking about a movie or a song or a book, something like that. Not just an idea.
Okay.
Now, a trademark is something like a business is using as their brand, or in some way just like very closely aligned to the company itself, that if another company used that trademark, it would cause confusion in the marketplace. And so if you were, I don't know, like a gas station, and you're like, my gas station is going to be called BP also.
Right. And BP has been around for over 95 years, so I'm on solid ground here, right?
But you wouldn't, because BP would come along and say, no, you're tricking people into thinking you're us, and that you can't do. And now this applies to Mickey Mouse in that Disney still has the trademark to Mickey Mouse, which trademarks are in perpetuity. As long as you're using the trademark, you don't lose it. Now, if they stop using it, if they just let Mickey Mouse go dormant for a long time, then they could lose that. And that's why you'll see.
That's why they wouldn't have a mascot that's a bear. Because the bear hibernates for months at a time.
I think it has to happen for longer than months at a time.
Okay.
But that's why.
Well,
like,
then it wouldn't be like, what are cicadas?
Right,
they go away for years at a time.
Well, and actually, I think it's not even necessarily not using it in a long time. It's that in combination with like not fighting people who are using it, which is why like you'll see they're like kind of cheap stories. I feel like you'll see stories all the time. This happened famously with Disney of like they told a daycare that they couldn't have Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck painted in murals on the walls because that violated their trademark. And in a lot of cases, the company's not trying to like screw over some small business or whatever. It's that if they don't defend their trademark, then Universal Studios could say, oh, well, it seems like they don't care. So we made a Mickey Mouse movie.
Right.
And now we can point to this that we know Disney knew about and they didn't make a big deal about it. So it's reasonable to think it was fine.
The other story is that somebody was trying to carve Winnie the Pooh into a child's gravestone.
Yeah, yeah.
And Disney was like, you can't do that.
Yeah, and I mean...
And also, like, no kids actually like Winnie the Pooh. I think Disney was more like, come on, you're lying. The parents might like it because they're weird, but this kid... Yeah.
I mean, I think... like, I don't know what I don't know if they could technically, you know, work a way around that by just like licensing that, you know, by saying to like that kid's parents, OK, you can get a license. But I completely get Disney being like, you know, we'd rather not be in the licensing characters for children's gravestone business. Right. Like, so we'd rather just
it's a lucrative business, Tom.
Be fair. Well, that's why
they're fools. Iger, you fool.
Yeah. Well, and that's why
that was the Eisner days, I think.
Yeah, the Eisner days. Imagine if there was just like a whole line of cartoons where it was like, they're the only ones that license themselves for children's gravestones. So it's
we're moving on.
Sad. Just like that's all these characters are known for. I get it. I get why they're like, we're going to be fair to everyone. Nobody can do this. We have to fight this. I mean, I also get that they're like, it's depressing. We don't want that. But
can I ask you a question, Tom? Mm-hmm. As a lawyer?
Yeah.
From one lawyer to another.
Mm-hmm.
The Steamboat Willie.
Yes.
Copyright mm-hmm. expired.
Yes.
I know it's a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of all these Disney movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They start playing a little thing of Steamboat Willie as part of the stinger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that for them to be like, that's like, it's our thing. You actually can't use it.
They started making a bunch of Steamboat Willie merch that like they hadn't done in a long time. Like they started making like black and white Mickey Mouse dolls. And I believe that probably is part of like, well, now if somebody makes a black and white Mickey Mouse doll, we can point to, look, we just did that.
Right.
Whereas before, maybe if they hadn't done that, somebody might have been able to argue, well, nobody would confuse this black and white Mickey plush animal my company makes for a Disney product because Disney's never made a black and white version of Mickey Mouse.
Right.
So like I could see that being just kind of covering their bases a little bit.
You know what stinks about all this stuff coming mm-hmm. into the public domain?
What's that?
The imagination.
Yeah.
Of the people who mm-hmm. now are like, oh, these characters, these beloved characters are now in the public domain or like these works. And it's always like, we're going to make a slasher movie with these kids stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I think there's already one in the works for two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, they did it with that Winnie the Pooh when that came. And nobody likes that stuff. Nobody watches that stuff.
That Winnie the Pooh movie had like a 1.7 rating. Like, it was apparently just.
Yeah, well, also, nobody likes Winnie the Pooh.
But it was like apparently just like a literally unwatchable, like, just extremely poorly made thing.
Yeah, so it's either like on the like quote unquote official side, it's like, yeah, we're going to make this, bloody and violent. Yeah. And then on the, like, internet joking side, it's like, we're going to show their dicks.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, how come Disney's so uptight about their characters? They don't want anybody else using them. When that's everybody's first instinct. Let's have them kill and fuck.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for Donald Duck to enter the fray.
Yeah. I think it is interesting because, yeah, you're right. Same thing happened with Winnie the Pooh, I think, 2 years ago now, maybe?
Yeah. Whatever.
That seems to be people. I mean, I guess it's just like the cheap thing to do. But the other thing I was going to say as a lawyer is that the thing I think everybody needs to remember is that, like, none of this is super cut and dry and clean. And it's basically a, like, how much do you want to poke the bear being Disney or the mouse?
Cause the bear hibernates, Tom. Remember
the bear hibernates. That's a bad I forgot trademark. About that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the law is going to, and what's interesting about Mickey Mouse going into public domain this year is that people have thought for years, like, oh, surely Disney's got something up their sleeve in the 11th hour that they're going to get this copyright extended.
Right. As they have, they had Sonny Bono's widow in their pocket.
Yeah.
Sonny Bono was unavailable to be senator at the time because he had smashed into a tree
on account of being dead. Yeah. It's kind of everything's because I saw also people pointing out that like one of the big things is with any character that goes into the public domain that they say, okay, you can only use the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse, as you were talking about before. So you can't use the modern version of Mickey Mouse, who has like pink skin, I guess, and like black hair around it, and like whites in his eyes.
The red overalls. I think even the white gloves
maybe, or maybe that particular version of the gloves. Yeah. And I know this happened somewhat recently because, like, the rights around Sherlock Holmes, I think now everything Sherlock Holmes is public domain.
Right.
Like, as of maybe this year or last. But for a little while, like, the early stories were, but not the later. And his Arthur Conan Doyle's estate sued Netflix for that. Forget what it was called, but it was like the girl from Stranger Things. Yeah, Holmes. Enola Holmes. Like, Sherlock's little sister. Because the version of Sherlock in the movie played by Henry Cavill is like not a dick, basically. And they were like, no, all the early stories, Sherlock Holmes is a dick. It's not till later that he has any kind of humanity about him. So they're violating the copyright of those later stories.
The estates of anybody stink.
I mean, that's what
Marvin Gaye estate, like, ruined pop music.
Yeah. I mean, they're just trying to get theirs. They don't care about how that affects.
My grandfather did a thing.
Yeah. Or my great-grandfather.
Get a job, assholes.
So same thing with Mickey Mouse that, Mickey Mouse saying, oh, boy, that didn't happen in Steamboat Willie. So you can't have your version of Mickey Mouse saying, oh, boy, thing.
Tom, what the hell?
Yeah, what's even worth it? But I also think these Mickey Mouse slasher movies that are coming out, I think that they could
argue. Are they going to be like, oh no, Steamboat Willie's coming? Because, like, he's not Mickey Mouse.
Is it Mickey Mouse in
Steamboat Willie? Yeah. It is.
Which people keep forgetting too. Minnie's in that. Minnie is also public domain.
Oh, Tom, I know what you want to see.
It's already out there.
Tom's been on the AI doing Minnie Mouse upskirts.
Um, You've really threw my entire train of thought.
I thought you were just going to be like, ooh.
I was, but then I was like, why did he have such a specific Minnie Mouse upskirt?
Turning it around on me for your perversion?
Well, I was like, what is that? I'm like, so in these upskirts, are they like animated upskirts? Or are they like, oh no, I had a camera and I walked by a cartoon character.
You
and
tell me, you sicko.
But I was going to say, these slasher movies, I think there's a strong case to be made that they could have made those slasher movies before under parody laws.
Right.
And under fair use and all that. I get why you don't want to, and that maybe you feel more emboldened now because the character's
and
public
get a
domain.
Pop because it's like, hey.
Oh, absolutely. Another, yeah. Like a bunch of projects got announced just based on, you know, I can't tell you how many headlines I saw this week, especially researching this, of like, well, he's only been in the public domain for an hour and there's already, it's like, yeah, he's been in the public domain for an hour and we've known for 20 years the moment that was going to happen. Right. Like, people have had time to prepare, and it's not illegal to start working on something before it's in the public domain. Also, interestingly, which I haven't seen as much about, Peter Pan entered the public domain.
Peter Pan, guys, we got to stop with Peter Pan. It's a weird story with problematic stuff all over it.
Well, and so now it's interesting because the book is public domain, but the book version of Peter Pan is a lot different than the Disney cartoon version of Peter Pan. And one of those things is like, he's like an even bigger dick in the book. But that's like another thing where, okay, you're free to make your adaptation of Peter Pan, but you're gonna have to be like super careful about violating, like, does it mention that what his costume looks like in the book, and does it match, the Disney version? 'Cause if it doesn't, guess what? Like,
just
you can't
make new stuff. Who cares?
You can't. No, I mean, I think things going into the public domain is a great thing and a necessary thing. And
yeah,
like,
of course.
And it gives people the ability to, like, without any restriction, take something and adapt it and make it into, you know, new art.
Yeah, I agree. I just think nobody has any imagination.
Well, you should see this slasher movie I'm planning to make with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, you gotta stop texting me these Minnie Mouse pics that you're generating on AI.
There's a reason why it's gonna be rated R.
Tom,
I mean,
can I ask you a question?
That's the other annoying thing. I've seen a bunch of like AI generated stuff in Mickey, and it's like, AI already would do that. Like, that has nothing. And then conversely, I've seen people be like, I told ChatGPT to make this and it refused. And it's like, yeah, one of their priorities isn't like, make sure we can start violating.
When the clock strikes midnight.
Yeah, when the clock strikes midnight, let's make sure we start pissing off one of the biggest entertainment companies in the world.
Well, Tom, ChatGPT apologist.
I'm just saying, don't get mad at it, because who knows what, you know, it's going to wind up doing.
Tom, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Chris Diamantopoulos?
Yeah, yeah.
He's handsome, right?
He was in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the current voice of Mickey.
He's,
or maybe not current.
No, he's current. Oh,
okay. I know,
yeah,
he has
since,
been for
I think,
years.
2013 or so.
Yeah, he does a great job.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, he's handsome.
He doesn't, yeah, he doesn't look or sound like he'd be able to do Mickey Mouse.
Tom, okay, so he was on The Office, right? Mm-hmm. He was going to steal Pam away from Jim. You remember that plot
line?
He
was the boom operator, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he was the three commas guy in Silicon Valley, the venture capitalist.
Yeah. But, like, he's handsome, right?
Yeah.
You know what else?
Why do you keep focusing on how handsome he is?
Tom, I'll tell you why. He voices Mickey Mouse, famously unhandsome. And also...
I don't think Mickey Mouse is handsome enough.
What? You're a real sicko. And then in the 2012 Three Stooges movie, he played Moe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you can't tell me that's a handsome guy.
McIntyre plays Mo Howard. Yeah, because did we watch that for something?
No, I've never seen
or,
it.
Or maybe I just watched clips for something. And he was good in that, too. Yeah, he's a talented guy.
That was cool how they just were like, we're not going to make like a biopic. Or, we're just going to make
a new Three Stooges.
Three Stooges shorts, yeah. Right?
No, they made a feature-length movie.
Yeah, no, but it was like, it was made up of three shorts, yeah. Right? Like.
Yeah, it was, people clowned on it, but it was actually pretty good from the parts I saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been.
Whoa, you know who played Young Mo?
Who?
The boy.
Timothy Chalamet?
No, the famous boy. The other famous boy. Skylar Gisondo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Played Young Mo?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow, what a, we should watch this movie.
He's the new Jimmy Olsen.
Wow.
Wow. Mo Howard and Jimmy Olsen. No, but I was going to say one of the things about Mickey that I feel like growing up, at least for us, you always heard like, why does everybody even care? Like, they don't even use Mickey Mouse. But there has been a Mickey Mouse cartoon now for a long time. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I tried to watch it. I tried to get my son into it. Yeah. And, like, neither of us really liked it.
Yeah. But it's been going for for a long time now. When I was in Disney Paris, like, when we went to eat lunch in a place, they had, like, and I was like, what the hell are these? And new Mickey Mouse cartoons?
Mickey Mouse Disney World?
I heard this guy's name before. So yeah, Mickey's out there. He's being used. You know, he's doing the best he can,
which is not much. Mickey Mouse, his personality stinks. I know he's an underdog,
mm-hmm.
but he's not like the only good thing Mickey Mouse has ever been in
mm-hmm.
was the only watchable part of Fantasia, which is the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah,
right. The rest of it is just like.
Not if you're high, not if you're on drugs. Disney's Fantasia, apparently the first movie in stereo, from what I was reading.
Wow.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I like a lot of music stuff.
It's interesting when you're like, oh, Walt Disney made the first cartoon with sound mm-hmm. and the first cartoon with stereo sound. And then it's like, I Love Lucy was like, revolutionary in the way that they like actually like filmed things like technically mm-hmm. it's like
well and that's what even
these things like the, all these landmark things were actually doing innovative creating innovative processes
Plain Crazy the technically first Disney movie, but the second one that, or the Mickey movie, the second one that came out was the first animated film to use a camera move.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, and that's what I was reading that they were saying, like Disney's thing has always been technology. Like they've always been like pushing at the forefront of things like this, which like, I don't know, I guess like as a kid, you see that. Well, like when you go to Disney World or whatever you and like Pixar and stuff, you see like, oh, yeah, look at all the like technology. But you think like, ah, that's new. They didn't used to be like that. But so I thought it was kind of interesting. It's like, oh, no, that they've always been like a very technology pushing company.
Something that surprised me about Mickey Mouse. I have this old book that mm-hmm. I got somewhere. I don't know. Like when you have a child, just people give you a lot of books.
Yeah.
This is an old book. It's like one of those golden books, you know, the golden
books? Yeah, the little golden
books. Yeah, and it was like, Mickey and Pluto go to space.
Go to hell.
Well, it like, honestly, like...
they would have been better off.
It's about like them like building a rocket and going, mm-hmm. but like Peg Leg Pete comes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he steals the rocket. Mm-hmm. But like Mickey and Donald Duck have like guns.
Tim, like, was this an authorized book?
Yeah, it was. But it was like written in like, you know, 1962 mm-hmm. or whatever. Like when they're on the rocket ship and Peg Leg Pete is there, like Mickey hits him in the head with a baseball bat nice. And knocks him out. He wakes up, they're holding guns on him so he doesn't go anywhere. It's like, oh, Mickey Mouse, like, maybe a bit of an underdog.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes Mickey's got, you know.
A bit of a scrappy.
Yeah, when the situation calls for it, he's got to do what's asked of him. In December of 2019, both Mickey and Minnie served as special co-hosts of Wheel of Fortune for 2 weeks, while Vanna White served as the main host during Pat Sajak's absence. I feel like that
Pat Sajak was on trial for his whereabouts on January 6th.
I think he was sick. I think he was like getting an operation or something, or COVID, maybe.
Facelift. He looks great.
I mean, when he gets facelifts, they do that during the off season. He doesn't have an emergency
There's
facelift.
No off season for Wheel of Fortune. It's on every day, Tom.
Yeah, and they film all of it in the course of 2 weeks. But I feel like that must have been such a fucking kick in the teeth for Vanna White. Like, Vanna, guess what? Pat Sajak's, he's sick. And we've never asked you before, but we're going to ask you, can you step up and be the host? And she's like, oh my God, what a huge honor. That'd be great. But who are you going to do my job? We'll get fucking Mickey Mouse to do your job. Yeah, and if he's busy, we'll get Minnie Mouse. I don't know, any idiot in a costume.
Now, were they people in costumes?
Yeah, yeah.
Or was it like CGI that they put across the
screen? No.
Because like all it does is light up the
Yeah,
letters.
No, I think it was people. It was probably...
And they had the whammy technology since the 80s. Yeah, so they could just have them walk across the stage.
I don't know for sure, but I kind of assumed it was like a Disney week.
Yeah.
Episode to begin with.
I think they should film more TV shows at Disney World. I don't understand why it's like only special weeks. You got audiences
because
coming
it's like
through.
A big pain in the ass to like shoot a TV show at Disney World.
Why?
Why? Because you've got like a bunch of looky-loos. It's just a much
an audience.
Yeah, well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about when I went to Universal Studios.
Oh, like have sound stages there.
In the
90s. Yeah, yeah.
92, I think.
Uh-huh.
We walked into Universal Studios and they were like, hey, they came up to my family and they're like, hey, would you guys like to see a taping of Clarissa Explains It All over at Nickelodeon Studios? And my parents rightfully were like, we just paid like hundreds of dollars to all come in here. We're not going to like spend the next 4 hours watching a sitcom taping.
Yeah.
But how cool would it have been like to see a live episode of Clarissa Explains It All? What I'm saying is they pretend like there's like real studios and like movie stuff going on, like Disney's MGM studios or Hollywood Studios and Universal Studios. They don't actually film anything there.
No.
They should film things there.
Yeah, I imagine it was probably bad for like visitor satisfaction, probably because so many people who were not like your parents thought like, oh, this will be cool. And then, didn't realize the time commitment. And
you don't have to do it to somebody who just spent, you know, hundreds of dollars
on tickets.
Then
who are you
going
to do it to?
You do it, you know.
Oh, the riffraff? The people outside?
No, you do it like, hey, look, you don't have to, like, this is not counting. You're not paying to see this.
I don't even.
How?
Why do you care?
Because I can't. I don't know. I have a lot of.
Why do you wish they film more things in a studio at Disney World?
It was cool when I went to Nickelodeon Studios and we took the tour and I got to see the set of Roundhouse.
All right. Tim, Disney officials have stated that 98% of children aged 3 to 11 around the world are at least aware of Mickey Mouse. Disney expected the Mickey Mouse and Friends brand to make $9 billion in retail sales in 2011.
Wait, in 1 year?
In 1 year. I mean, not profit, just revenue.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
$9 billion in sales?
I'm sure that includes licensing and everything. But I mean, you have a young kid. Like, there's so... Like, my niece has...
He doesn't have any Mickey Mouse stuff. He has
really?
That book that we inherited.
My niece...
Mickey Mouse holding a gun.
My niece has been into Minnie Mouse since she could, like, be into anything. And I don't even understand how. Like, there isn't a Minnie... She doesn't watch a Minnie Mouse cartoon or anything.
Yeah.
But I think it's just because there's so much of it.
One of my son's classmates is a girl who's obsessed with Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
She's got this really cool Minnie Mouse jean jacket.
Oh.
But it's also like... Do you just know Minnie Mouse from this jean jacket?
I think so. And I mean, I think that's what, like, It's such a weird brand in that way that there are just so many people, because, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate, but you're right. Mickey Mouse doesn't have a personality. Hmm. He's a little bit of an underdog.
Yeah.
But he's not like a,
he's just a guy that goes like, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a friendly underdog. But so many people are into him and buy just so much shit with his dopey face on it. And again, that's one of the big things. Like, you are not going to be able to make merchandise now that Mickey's in the public domain because of that trademark issue.
Right.
Where even if I think, like, even if you're making a Mickey Mouse slasher movie, if you then tried to make, I don't know, action figures based on that movie, I think you'd run into problems over trademark.
Well, we should try it.
With that kind of stuff.
We should make action figures based on the movie and bait both Disney and the producers of the movie
mm-hmm.
to come after us. And then we'll get the real headlines, Tom.
And then we'll just let them fight it out in court.
Exactly. We'll get into one of those cartoon things where the big dust cloud goes.
Yeah,
and everybody's fighting. Then we just step out. We go home. We come record our podcast.
Mickey would love that. Mickey has met every U.S. president since Harry Truman, with the exception of Lyndon B. Johnson.
Now, what the hell does that mean?
Mickey is
a cartoon character. Where did you get that factoid?
I got it from Wikipedia. But I can also see Lyndon B. Johnson be like, I'm not meeting a fucking mouse.
Yeah, but how do you do it? How did fucking Eisenhower be like, yes, I'll meet this mouse?
I don't know. There was a quote from when Obama met him, Obama making a joke that he had bigger ears than he did. But otherwise, I don't know how. I think a lot of these meetings happen behind closed doors, to be honest with you.
I know that JFK met with Minnie Mouse behind closed doors.
Tim, that's a rumor. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can find all our social media links there. You can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide. This week we're doing a 2023 year in review for Books the Podcast, our podcast about books.
The Booksmen Reflect.
The Booksmen Tell All. Books the Podcast, available exclusively at patreon.com/completeguide. Complete guide. You know, the other thing is, let me just mention this number, but I don't want to talk about it. In total, approximately 40%, this is in 1990s. Oh, no, it's not. Approximately 40% of Disney's revenues for consumer products are derived from Mickey Mouse merchandise, with revenues peaking in 1997. So I don't know what year that percentage is, but that's a lot of money from Mickey Mouse.
Say it again.
40% of Disney's revenue for consumer products derived from Mickey Mouse merchandise, and that peaked in 1997.
Okay, I could see that. You know, like, because like now it's like it's all Elsa and Anna.
Well, and Marvel and Star Wars have to also like be up there.
I'm not familiar with.
Like, not necessarily. I wouldn't be surprised if Mickey's bigger than both of those, but I would be surprised if Mickey's still taking up 40% when you've got these other big properties.
Yeah, Elsa and Anna.
Elsa and Anna, as you've said. The other thing I want to say is
Moana.
Also, like, early copyright's so weird because there were people for years saying that. That
there shouldn't be copyright, or like that the founding fathers actually didn't believe in copyright.
Well, that, but also that like these movies did not clearly identify the copyright owner and also misidentified the copyright year. Like nowadays, copyright laws way too protective, but much more protective in that things just kind
of give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
like, he meant to write copyright, but he wrote copyright.
Exactly. Like just putting something out, being able to prove something was out there, it's you have a de facto copyright As long as you can, like, if it comes up that you can go back and prove, yeah, no, look, I created this. Here's when it was first published, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, back in the day, it was like there weren't real firm rules, it seemed. And then new laws passed that said, like, anybody that didn't do it the way we kind of said you needed to, it doesn't apply. That's how things like, because I was always confused for years that things like Night of the Living Dead were public domain, even though that was made, what, in the 60s, 70s?
Yeah, 60s, I think.
And apparently it's public domain because they, like, fucked up the copyright notice.
Yeah. See, the way to copyright ska and punk lyrics, just send it to yourself in an envelope, through the mail. Send the lyrics in an envelope, in a sealed envelope, and then don't open it.
That's how your old ska band copyrighted lyrics way back in the day, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like a known thing in the Long Island ska punk scene, Tom.
I mean, I think that is still like, I mean, I think nowadays it's
I think they don't even require that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think nowadays they're like,
but now it's like, we have a website. When did you submit it to Spotify?
Right.
Like, yeah.
And also it's, you know, there's a website if you just want to don't send a letter to yourself that's postmarked that you can prove by opening in court, I guess.
That would be fun and dramatic, though. It I would think be we were fun hoping and somebody would
sue you.
would contest the ownership of the lyrics to Mr. X by Channel 59.
And claim that they, in fact, had written them.
Yeah, and then we'd get to go to court and Dan would go up there and be like, he'd have like a letter opener too, and be like, "You all seeing this is sealed, right?"
Yeah.
Like
they probably have somebody. The judge would inspect it with an eyeglass.
Yeah,
it appears to be sealed to me. It's a southern court, of course. Where this is happening.
Yeah, I think actually the judge would get to open it, right?
Yeah, maybe just to prove there's no sleight of hand going on.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, in summation. Do whatever you want with Mickey Mouse now. Make him fuck. Make him suck. Who cares?
Dude, that's all you can think of. Make him kill. All
right. We'll see you next week.
What's Mr. Beast all about?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.